Good morning, everyone. I feel like an airline's pilot right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Well, the early Hebrew church, they were having a bumpy ride. And a lot of the early Christians were facing the danger of abandoning the Christian faith. The writer of the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, encourages them by showing that Jesus is the final revelation of God. Allow me to read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 1. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Verse 2 onwards. He is the one through whom God created the universe, the one whom God has chosen to possess all things at the end. He reflects the brightness of God's glory and is the exact likeness of God's own being, sustaining the universe with his powerful word. After achieving forgiveness for the sins of mankind, he sat down in heaven at the right-hand side of God, the supreme power. The Son was made greater than the angels, just as the name that God gave him is greater than theirs. But when God was about to send his firstborn son into the world, he said, all God's angels must worship him. I love how the writer uses the term firstborn. Because of the Son, because of Jesus Christ, we are now called sons and daughters. We are now adopted as God's own sons and daughters. What a glorious privilege. This glorious Son, who was God, did not think of equality with God. Philippians 2:6. This Son who is one with God, as John 17:21 says, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Can I request you to meditate on the majesty of Christ for a few more seconds as I read some more passages that explain this divine relationship between God and the Son. The letter of Colossians chapter 2, 9-10 says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells, bodily and in Christ. You have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every person and authority. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 3:16. Sorry. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The Jesus that we just read about, God's one and only Son, came for us to have eternal life. Well, I was conversing with a friend last week, and I don't know what denomination he's from. They say that they're non-denominational, but I was sensing some denomination going on. But he asked me a question. Why do you think baptism is necessary? Well, I told him that it is a testament of our faith. It is a physical way of showing that we believe in Jesus. And he asked me one curious question. So if a person believes in Jesus but is not baptized, will he or she go to heaven? I could not answer his question then and there itself. And right now as well, I don't know. I need to reflect on it furthermore or even consult Stephen or people who know Bible more than me. But his question did leave me pondering on the fact that how important it is to act on our faith in the kingdom of God. I've heard mom say to my dad very often that, why don't you say I love you more often? I mean, I'm the one saying all the time, why don't you say it? And I know many people here might be facing the same situation, including me. 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. The Almighty God has been acting on his love for mankind since creation. I particularly focused on expanding on the majesty of Christ in the beginning to create a sense of grandness for this act of love that God performed for us, that he gave his one and only son to die for us. Today's theme for the message is love. And I would like to focus on our expression of love for God. Jesus says in John 14:15, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." This verse hit me when my friend last week asked me about baptism. This is the verse that hit me. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. And it led me to notice the expression of love that the individuals portray in the scene of nativity. We'll start with Matthew 2:7-9. "So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions, 'Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know so that I too may go and worship him.' And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs." The Magi are described as distinguished foreigners by some thinkers. They obviously were determined to take on a long journey from the east to look for the King of Kings. Their expression of love for God reminds me of the hard journeys that people take to serve God. Some have to learn a new skill to be on the worship team. I'm learning the guitar right now. Some have to go through intense studies of theology, like pastors do. Some have to undertake mission work and move to foreign lands, like we heard from our sister there. Loving God is about taking our cross up daily. Some of us may relate to this expression today. Loving God may seem very tiring sometimes. It seems like hard work or even like an endless journey. The fact-finding tour of the Magi ended with a personal encounter with the Savior of the world. They were in the right place at the right time because they followed the evidence and pursued the truth wherever it could be found. This love for God reminds me of my parents, who started the journey for serving the less communities in India. We didn't have frankincense, we didn't have myrrh, we didn't have gold. We came from humble backgrounds, but I remember my mother praying every morning when she entered the school, and she would go on her knees. My dad was confident that God will provide and that God will protect, and he would go out in the slums and just serve. Maybe for those of us on this journey today who are laboring in their expression of love for God, let us take confidence and comfort in the fact that God is guiding us. He always has, we always have his word as a guiding light, as a guiding star. Luke 2:15 onwards says, "When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us.' When the shepherds saw the baby Jesus, they told Mary and Joseph of what the angel had told them. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for what they had heard and seen." Another expression of loving God is worship that is evident from the shepherds here. Around the world, carols are sang and people rejoice during Christmas time. It's probably one of my favorite part of Christmas. But worship comes in many forms. And I also believe that it needs to be constant. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for all they had seen and heard. This challenges me to be constant in my worship. Every day I hear the word of God. Every day I see his glory around me. My recent interview, we were talking about this last Sunday, it didn't go so well, and I came back home very discouraged, very dismayed. But thank God for his word. I was immediately reminded of Job and how he says that God gives and God takes away, all glory be to him. I thank God that I was able to come back to the heart of worship because of his word. What the shepherds saw and heard evoked in them a sense of worship. And we are surrounded with so much information today. We see and hear all sorts of material. I feel that it's much easier for me to worship God through my day when I have seen and heard His word. Maybe meditation on His word every day can help us to come back to the heart of worship. Another expression of love for God can be seen in the example of Joseph. Matthew 4:19, Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife." Verse 24 says, "So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary as the angel of the Lord had told him to." As we see, Joseph was a man of principles. He always did what was right, but probably he was going to do something here that wasn't according to the will of God. But Joseph loved God, Joseph obeyed God, and then denied himself. This is probably where I struggle most in my expression of love for God. My ego and my pride can sometimes lead me to do what is right, but might not be according to the will of God. I'm reminded here by Joseph's example that I need to sometimes deny myself. I try to control a lot of things when I recently coming to New Zealand, out of the family, suddenly independent, suddenly made me feel so much in control of my life that I almost forgot who really, really controlled my life. But he has been humbling me through instances, and I've started to know that God is in control of my life. Are we loving him to the point of full surrender unto him? Complete surrender is what Mary shows us in the Christmas story. Prone to public disgrace, Mary says in Luke 1:38, "I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said." I find her kind of love very remarkable. Some of us must have played that trust game when you fall on a person that you trust. I could always play that game with my dad. I trust him completely, and he's got strong arms. Mary loved God so much that she surrendered her social status, dignity, future, and even her life in God's hands. It's not always easy to surrender completely. It's not always easy to hear that His will be done. But God gives strength. He is the potter. He shapes us, humbles us, and also according to His promise, exalts us. Mark 8:35. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." We can take comfort in knowing that all things work together for the good of those who love him. And finally, the ultimate expression of love we see in Jesus. He loved the Father so much that he sacrificed his position with God to come down to earth as the Son of Man. The King of Kings, the person of Jesus, lay in a humble manger, knowing that he would one day sacrifice himself for saving humanity. Loving God can mean sacrificing comforts, family, honor, time. But like Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God, we are also promised an eternal existence in communion with God. We can endure anything through Christ who strengthens us. So how are we consciously expressing our love today for God? God, as Jesus says in the Bible, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." Last week, his voice kept ringing in my mind. If you love me, Arnold, what would you do? Would you go through hard, laborious journeys and tasks? Or would you joyfully worship me? Or would you go through self-denial? Or would you surrender yourself? Or even sacrifice what you hold precious? Maybe we can ponder on this question as we head towards Christmas. If we love God, how do we choose to express it today? Let the people in the Nativity or throughout the Bible or even around us help us to physically express our love for God. Wish you a Merry Christmas and a lovely Christmas. Thank you.